This is so good to have you guys at church. And I love speaking about the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit totally changed my life. I was trying to serve God and I got saved. I grew up in a very traditional church, never heard the gospel. And then I heard the gospel and I wanted to serve Jesus. And it's the first time I ever heard it. I was in the small hall and I heard the worship going and I saw people put up their hand. I didn't know why they put up their hand. I had been in a service before like this. It was in Malpus and it was in the bowling club. And I thought there was a woman speaking Hebrew in the service, but she was speaking a heavenly language. She was wearing a dukkie, so I didn't know what was going on. My mom took me to the service. But I never forgot that moment. It's weird. And I came here, Steve Mills, the guy standing, put his hand up. Very friendly guy. He's come to our sports games. I actually messaged him the other day. I saw he was online. So I said, hey, what you doing? I must be honest, I was in an eldership meeting. So he said, hey, myself and Kaylee are driving to run a race. So I just messaged him that scripture. It says the wicked run like no one's chasing them. I just said, don't forget that. He had a good laugh. Anyway, so find another sport. Anyway, but I remember having a huge desire to serve God, but I felt like there was this block. I ticked the boxes. I came to church. I got water baptized in a youth camp, even though I was a young adult. And I was in the worship team. But it was weird. There was something missing. I remember doing what we call Freedom Now. And we actually used the Alcana school. And just so you guys know, God just birthed stuff out of this church. Missions, schools. One of the schools that were birthed out of the church was Alcana. And then we were using Alcana. And I remember Naomi was there. Auntie Helen was there. Auntie Helene Hendricks, who are all part of our church. They were all there. Somebody came to me, I was 20, and said, you're going to be a Pied Piper of young people. Never worked with young people before. I thought, ugh, they must be smoking something. I didn't think that, I'm only joking. I was like, wow. And all of a sudden, I started to direct my life because what had happened was they actually heard from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit actually gave them the ability to speak into my future. And as they said it, I started to have this desire to direct my life and be available. I didn't sort of put like, I better be now a Pied Piper of young people. I honestly didn't understand what they meant. But I became available and it was all because the Holy Spirit spoke through a person and the person was available. And then the Holy Spirit inspired me. See, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, he's gonna speak to you to either direct your life, say, carry on doing what you're doing, or redirect your life to say you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. There's more for you. Will you get back on track? You know, for me, what I was trying to do was I was trying to get on track in my own strength. See, the Holy Spirit gives you an ability beyond your ability. The Holy Spirit takes your natural and he makes it supernatural. And what happened in a year, my life was fast-tracked. All because of a prophetic word, because I became available and God spoke to me. I was in the back of the hall, Paul Van Coller, he was our youth pastor, young adults pastor, associate pastor of the church, running a phenomenal church, heads up Ark now. It's actually his birthday today. He came to me at the back and I felt God say to me, you're not doing everything you're supposed to. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. He came to me and said, I felt God say, you're not doing everything you're supposed to be doing. So I said, what should I do? He said, you should pray. I said, aren't you the guy who gets paid to pray? Now, Jake, I did not say that. Bad Christian jokes right here. But I went home and prayed. It's weird. I had a quiet time. I opened my Bible. And it's like I felt God say, give a year to church. I closed the Bible. And I had a mark and I opened it. I tried to read. It's nowhere in this quiet time. Nobody had done a year to serve. So I said, I feel I must give a year to the church. He said, great, let's do it. And I ended up just coming, serving. All of a sudden, he said, hey, I booked you to speak at Tableview High. I said, I've never done it before. He said, just pray. Try to hear from God and then go tell them what you heard. Did that. So you started to grow. I didn't know what I was doing. I'll show you like sometimes the best seasons in life where it was just totally free obedience. And that's what I decided to do was just to be obedient. Best season ever. Changed my life. No strings attached. If you are tied by something right now, Sorry, Siri. I don't know why Siri's talking to me. Siri needs a Holy Spirit. Come on. I'm putting her on silent. She did it in the first service as well. I don't know. I forgot to put her on silent. But if you're feeling attached, if you're feeling like I felt where there was a block, you know how to break through? You start to serve with no strings attached. You just start to be obedient. God started to do something in my life. And it was weird. God empowered me to go and speak and preach, and I was just available. That's what I always tell people. It's not about ability. It's just about availability. As soon as you stop making yourself available, that's when you stop seeing the power of God moving. You know, God comes on you and makes you bold. But there's some times where you won't feel God on your life. You just need to be bold and step out for God, and you'll experience His power again. So He comes on you and you become bold. And then sometimes you just need to be bold and He comes on you. But you need to decide what you want to do. If you want to be obedient, and I started to live for God. I also started to understand that God had helped many people in the Bible do the miraculous. Joseph, God anointed him to be a leader. Not only lead in the best of times, He anointed him, gave him wisdom to lead in the hardest of times. He actually also anointed prophets in the Bible to speak prophetically, where people could redirect their life or carry on going in the direction that God spoke to them. The Spirit of God also came on Gideon. He was the least of the least. He actually even said it, "I'm the least in my clan." What do you mean? He says, "Mighty warrior." He actually became the leader of the people. The least with God became the strongest of all the people. Here's the thing. Even if it's just you and God, you're still in the majority. You still got all the power you need to conquer. And so we see that. We see that Samson had the power of God come on him, and he tore up a lion as if it was a small animal. We see Mary have an angel come to her and says, "You're going to give birth to the Messiah. You're going to carry the Messiah." She says, "How can this be? I'm a virgin." And the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." We even see Jesus goes to the cross, dies on the cross, and 3 days later, He borrowed a tomb. You must remember, Jesus didn't need a tomb. He just needed to borrow a tomb. He wasn't planning to stay. He comes out of the tomb, conquers death, and the Bible shows us and says that the power that conquered the grave, we have access to it. The same power that conquers the grave lives in you. Jesus, after this, comes out of the grave, lives on the earth for 40 more days, lives with the disciples. He first of all breathes into them, says, "Receive the Holy Spirit," but then He says, "Wait in this place, in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit will come on you. And it's going to be better if I go." See, the same Spirit that gave Joseph the wisdom, Gideon the leadership gift, the men and women of God to speak prophetically to the nation of Israel, power that came on Mary to carry the Messiah, and the same power that helped Jesus out of the grave, you have full access to that power. You don't have to worry anymore about living a weak life. See, here's the thing when it comes to the power. You can ask for the power right now. There's a scripture that says, if earthly parents give their children good gifts, if a child asks for bread, an earthly parent won't give them a snake. How much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit? You just have to ask. You just have to ask. You don't have to second guess that, because you and I are parents. We will do that for their kids. I don't play games with my kids. I want to direct their life. I want to help them. But if they're in need, there's something that stirs up inside of me that I want to help them. How much more does your Father want to help you? He's not trying to trick you. He's not trying to make life hard for you. He's not trying to get you to jump the hoops. He loves you. What do you need from your Father? He wants to give you the Holy Spirit. Of course, Jesus says it's better if I go. And of course, I've told you guys, let's imagine Jesus with us. He's living on the earth. We all go, "Flip, I need to spend more time with Jesus." We start following Him around. Some of you guys quit your jobs, and now we're all hungry. Only Saul has money. He's the only one who's got momentum still. Amen. He knows the joke. So He buys a happy meal. Jesus takes the meal, multiplies it. Would Jesus multiply McDonald's? Maybe not. Maybe we have to go to Nando's and get something healthier. But then all of a sudden somebody feels sick. Jesus touches the sick person. heals them. Then all of a sudden, somebody's dog gets knocked over. Jesus prays for the dog gets up and runs. Somebody's cat gets knocked over. Jesus does the funeral right there. Joking, bad joke. Always gonna crack that joke. I have to do it. But Jesus actually says it's better if I go. Why is it better? See, the thing is, if I live on this earth, you can follow me, you can look at me, and you can have get close to me, and you can maybe even copy what I'm wearing and the way I walk, and you can maybe have a form of godliness, but there'll be days where you'll deny my power because you won't see me, you won't feel me. But if I go, I'm going to come and live inside of you. And you do not only have to copy me, you can become more like me. You can have the fruits of the Spirit in your life. You can have the patience, the love, the kindness, the strength. You can have the self-control. You can have everything I want to give you. And the same power that conquered the grave can live in you if I go. That's why it's better if I go. Because if I go, I can be everywhere at once. I'm all powerful, almighty. I can live in everyone. And that's why it's better if I go. I want to ask you, are you living the better life? Or are you just living a human life? Are you living in your own strength? Or are you living in God's strength? Is your business run just in your strength? Or you wake up every morning and say, God, give me wisdom. Is your marriage just in your strength? Or is it in God's strength? Is your parenting in your strength or God's strength? Is your single life in your strength or God's strength? Is your studying life in your strength, or is your budgeting life in your strength or God's strength? Are you living the better life? Because Jesus says it will be better. You know, I remember years ago, I took then my flatmate. He was a medical student, biggest dude ever, Chinese guy, had a shot, played for the Sharks. Like, he had the biggest head I've ever seen on a person. Remember, whenever we parked in someone else's parking spot, they come knock on our door. Hey, you parked in my spot. Chester would open the door. Hello. They'd be like, you can have my spot. You can have everyone. Anyway, like, you know what I mean? Like, we just want to say welcome. Do you want us to bring food? Anyway, like, the guy was big. Just stick his head out. So I took him to surf ski. He was desperate to learn how to surf ski. Surf skiing's like K1. If anyone knows canoes, doozy, marathon, it's almost like a sea K1. We used to paddle to Robben Island and back, and I used to go. So he's desperate. And he gets one of these wedges. It's a bit easier to balance. But his head was just so big, he just kept falling. Anyway, I took him to dams. I took him to Small Bay. So today we're going out at Doodles. He feels he's got it down. I take my Derek then. I was a youth pastor, but Derek studied medicine, but Derek wasn't my brother-in-law then. And him and Derek were studying together. So I take Derek and him out. Derek and I are fine with it. We can surf ski. Jess keeps falling. Anyway, all of a sudden the weather turns. It starts getting really cold. But we were doing it in autumn. And it was a lot of waves, but there was movement, and then the wind picked up, and I was in my board shorts. We were all board shorts, and Chester had a vest on as well. But nobody was really protected from the cold. He ends up falling out. We can't get him back in. It takes 30 minutes. I go, okay, now we're in trouble. So I said, you know what I'm going to do? Derek, stay with him. I'm going to paddle back, and I'm going to swim back, and I'll get him on. I don't know what I'm thinking. Then I'm going to hold his, get him back, and I'm going to get him back to shore. This is in my head now. By the time I put my board and swim back out to him, he's drifted so much. Now we're heading towards Premi, drifting towards Mullinton, but also in the direction of the harbor. Now we're getting further and further out to sea. So by the time I get out to him at the back there, it's been another 30 minutes. So Chess has now been in the water for an hour. Okay. Now I'm in the water as well for 30 minutes. I hold him, and then I want to call Derek. Derek's paddling around, like, you know. Next thing you know, Chester paddles away from me. So he puts his feet out in the surf ski and to balance. He starts paddling away from me. He's paddling to Robben Island now. I'm like, okay, well. So now I'm thinking, I'm dying out here. I'm so tired. So I'm like, Derek, come here. I said, so hold on to your surf ski. I hold on to the surf ski. I said, now look, I'm just watching Chester go further and further away from us. I said, bro, you're going to have to go get him. So now I'm thinking, I'm going to swim back to shore. By the time I get back to shore, it's been 2 hours that we're out in the ocean. So Chester's been out for like 2.5 hours, I've been out. Now, Chester fell over again, all these things. I get to shore. Now, I've got another plan. I'm going to get my surf ski. But I almost drowned getting back because now we've drifted so far. Swim back. Luckily, as I come back, I'm hallucinating. I only found out afterwards that I had hypothermia. So it was so cold that day. I'm hallucinating, and I'm just running along the beach, but almost falling over. This NSRI guy, I think he did it on purpose. He tackles me. he didn't have to tackle me. Anyway, like, you know what I mean? Like, I was already hallucinating falling over. I think he just enjoyed tackling. You know what I mean? Like, come on, like, you know what I mean? He most probably wasn't getting any perks of the job. And, you know what I mean? Like he's a volunteer. I'm going to tackle this dude. Maybe he had an offense against me or something. But when he came to a service, I said something in the service. But he tackles me and he says, you can't go out. Luckily, NSRI boats come, they get Chester, they bring him back. Do you know what? There was some lady on the beach, luckily that day, who saw what was happening. There was one guy trying to save a friend, another guy who was, couldn't get in a boat, and then another guy who was having fun paddling. Anyway, so that's all. She must have reported this to the NSRI. But you know what I should have done? As soon as I got out, I should have asked somebody to phone the NSRI. I should have stopped trying to figure this rescue mission out. I should have stopped trying to do it all in my own strength and get my ducks in a row. Because you know what happened? By God's grace, I didn't drown that day. Because when I got out, I was hallucinating. It was weird. I was out of it. I was like, I need to get a chest. Like, I was like, I didn't know what was happening to me. Like, I was getting drunk. I don't get drunk. So, you know what I mean? Like, so, I don't know if you right now are on a rescue mission for your finances, for your life, for your marriage, for your children, and you just keep doing it in your own strength, and you're not phoning a friend. You're actually not asking for the help of the Holy Spirit, the same power that conquered the grave. Like, everything you're trying to conquer right now, He can do. He can help you with your finances, anything. He can help you with it, but you're just not phoning anyone. You're pulling an Andre. You're hallucinating. You're even coming up with stupid ideas like I did. So they put a silver blanket around us. I said, you guys have got hypothermia. Do you mind? The press comes. Can we take photos of you? Yes, so what's your name? So I said, Andre, just write rescue Andre, please. Bumbling idiot. Like, don't put me on the same page, okay? Like, now we're on the front page. Two guys who don't know what they're doing found on Bloberg Beach. One guy having fun, paddling around them. Anyway. Like, I'm like, just tell them I'm trying to rescue. Can we be clear on that? Experienced surf skier trying to help a friend. Like, write that, please. They did not. I don't know what they wrote. Anyway, I just remember, like, they didn't put our photo in, but they did report it. They put a guy almost drowned outside. Anyway, I'm glad they didn't mention my name. So in Acts 1, 4 to 5, and verse 8, it says, on one occasion while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But you'll receive power when? The Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll receive power when? Every morning you'll receive power when? You'll receive power for your marriage when? Holy Spirit comes. Well, you'll receive power to run your business when? You'll receive power to break through. You understand? Every time you need power, what do you need? You need the Holy Spirit to come on you. You need to welcome the Holy Spirit every morning. You say, welcome, Holy Spirit. I acknowledge your power. Please, will you come on me? Because you say, as a child of God, if I ask for the Holy Spirit, you will not withhold your spirit from me. Every morning when you need power, you can wake up and say, morning, Jesus, will you baptize me in your spirit? You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then it goes, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. The best witness you can be to your world is one where you've got the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because you'll have more patience, you'll have more love, you'll have more kindness, you'll be steadfast. Sometimes you don't have to say anything, you just have to live in that power. I found this morning I had my name, but God's grace, we've had so far 100% hit rate on neighbors come to church over the last 13 years. You know what I mean? Like, I actually think it's quite cool, because normally, let's face it, when neighbors get to know you, then you try to tell them about Jesus, they're like, what's up with you, bro? You don't seem to be a Christian. So I'm grateful. This morning again, my neighbor's there. I've been a witness to them. How? I've just been there for them. Found out what to ask questions. Hey, I'll pray about that. They needed help, help. He's, of course, a great neighbor as well. But the Holy Spirit, that's His role in my life. He gives me power to be a witness. Sometimes we can try to save the world, but The proof's in the pudding. Are the people closest to you wanting to be in a relationship with Jesus? Are you letting the power of God come into your life? Of course, when he says he'll come on you, it's dunamis, it's a force, it's a miraculous power, and it means an explosive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Jesus, of course, encouraged them to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. The word baptized is baptismo. That's the original word. It actually means to be fully submerged. That's why when we water baptize, we fully submerge you. I was dripped as a baby, and I grew up in a very traditional church. We dedicate children here, but baptism is an adult decision. When you get baptized, you're publicly confessing what happened to you spiritually. It's a full submergence. But Jesus used the same word here. He says, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, you need to have the same experience as you had when you were in water. See, because when Jesus came out the grave, he said to the disciples, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathes in them. And that's what happens to you when you get saved. When you give your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. You get baptized into the body of Christ. But then he tells them to wait. Why must we wait? Well, because you're going to have the Holy Spirit come on you. See, the Holy Spirit is in you for you, but he comes on you for others. In you for you, on you for others. When we're tired, the in me for me is great, but God's putting himself on you for others. He's putting himself on you for ministry. He's given you a power. He's given you something great for others. He wants to give you strength. I think none of us should ever pull out of stuff because of weakness. Because the Bible says the Holy Spirit gives you power in your area of weakness. We should rather than have a faith for more power. We should have a faith for more of his strength. We should stop and go, God, I know you want to give me strength in this area. So he wants to fully submerge you. He not only wants the power of God in you. They say that was the Spirit of God. He wants it on you. You need to be doing both. You need to acknowledge that the Holy Spirit lives in you and cultivate that relationship. And then every morning ask for him to come on you. All the time. In you, on you. In you, on you. See, the thing is, the Holy Spirit is in you for you, but he's on you for your spouse. The Holy Spirit is in you for you, but he's on you for your kids. He's in you for you, but he's on you for your colleagues. He's in you for you, but he's on you for your school, for your street. He's in you for you, but he's on you for that gym you go to. He's in you for you, but he's on you for this country. You can only believe for this nation when the Holy Spirit's on you. You know, it says when Jesus came out of the water of baptism, it said the Holy Spirit rested on him like a dove. Bull Johnson, I think, says this. He says, imagine hosting a dove on your shoulder. How would you stand? You'd just be walking around. You'd be more careful, would you? Or would you be like dancing, shaking? Would the dove stay? I'm not saying you have to get weird or anything. But if the Holy Spirit comes on you like a dove, you need to be aware that you're hosting him. You need to be aware that he's living in your life. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are hosting the power of heaven in your life and on your life. It's amazing. You have the privilege of hosting God. So quickly, can I have the worship team up? The Holy Spirit gives you power. I'm going to quickly do four things. First thing, the Holy Spirit gives you power to be bold. The Holy Spirit gives you power to be bold. The Holy Spirit gives you power to share Christ boldly. That's what he does. He gives you power to be bold. Of course, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 2, 4-5, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. He's in a way saying, I'm not the best preacher around, but my message came with the demonstration of the Spirit's power so that your faith may not rest on men's wisdom, but instead on God's power. Why do we preach with God's power? Why do we trust God for something more? Why do I believe that God will speak beyond me today, that he'll speak to you even as I preach? Not because I'm good at this, but because he's better, he's strong. Why? Because if I can trust for that, then you are going to respond to the power of heaven. And when you go to work, when you do your life, or raise your kids, your marriage, your work, you're going to be living out of the power of the Holy Spirit, not the power of Andre, not the power of my words, but the words from the Bible. You're going to be living out of the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul says, I don't want to preach to entertain you. I don't want to preach to try to just persuade you with good words. I want you to respond to the power of God. Today, some of you are going to get to respond to the power of God. As I speak, God's actually touching your heart. He's actually knocking. Say, I want to help you. I want to strengthen you. I want to be with you. I want to comfort you. I want to lead you. I want to guide you. And you're going to respond, not because of me, but because God's speaking to you. And if you respond out of that, you're responding to the power of heaven. You're responding to this awesome God who wants to change your life. Not me, God. And Paul's saying, why does this happen? Because you need God. Yeah. But God comes on you and makes you bold to start to speak about God. Yeah. He makes you bold. Paul was bold. Jeez, I remember starting to preach to the youth pastor. I must have preached the worst sermons ever. Like, I actually look back and go, I can't believe I said that. So I sometimes think exactly the same thing. Don't worry. I'll sit in meetings and I'll go, I can't believe I said that. But by God's grace, He's still building His church. Sometimes I just try to get out of the way. But I still want to be serving, preaching. He makes me bold. He wants to make you bold. And people will get saved because of your boldness. Acts 1 verse 8 says, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. John 16 verse 8, when He comes, He'll convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. That's His role. He'll come on you to make you bold, to tell your world about Jesus. And then even as you're bold, He will start to draw people unto Himself. Anyone have a family member or loved one that you are desperate to see them respond to Jesus so they secure their eternity in heaven? Anyone? Okay. The Holy Spirit is seeing your response and He wants to make you bold so that you can actually share the gospel with them. Even just your faith story, or pray for them to be like, God wants to be with you. He wants to empower you to be bold in that area. Second thing, He'll give you power when you're weak. Romans 8 verse 26, in the same way the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Anyone feel weak in this place? I feel weak. Who feels weak sometimes as a parent? He wants to strengthen you as a parent. Because He says wherever you're weak, He wants to give you strength. Who feels weak as a husband? The husbands are like, I'm the man. Do not ever say that in church, Andre. Can we keep that to a men's meeting? Private response. Like, geez, that was like the least response I ever got. I'm sure Bloberg and Malpas were just like, thanks, guys. And again, I'll say, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. He wants to help you to play your role as a husband. Who feels weak in the area of business? Holy Spirit wants to help you. He's going to give you wisdom. Joseph understood how to lead in good times of plenty and times of having lack. Who feels weak as a student? You're studying? Anyone? God wants to help you. Holy Spirit wants to help you. He's going to even help you study and remember stuff as you write. Are you asking Him for help? No, listen, yeah. Even before I was a Christian, the only time I prayed was before the test. It's bad, I know. I had the faith for it. Some of your strength has already failed, but you're still not turning to the Holy Spirit. Your strength has already failed. NSRI, I'd already failed in strength. And I still thought, like, if I go out one more time, I'll be able to get that dude out the water. I'd already failed, and I somehow thought that the next step was me failing one, potentially one more time. No, it's about surrendering to the power of God and say, I can't do this, but you say where I'm weak, you are strong. You'll get the most glory. So I turn to you now and declare, I'm weak. Will you help me? But here's what's crazy. When you do that, you'll become a kingdom mover. People of the kingdom are heavy lifters. How can they be heavy lifters? Because they declare they're weak, and then God makes them strong, and they start to do supernatural things. Gideon said, I'm the least. God said, don't worry, I'm going to make you the greatest. You will be a heavy lifter for my kingdom, and I'll get glory. Paul said, I'm not a great preacher. Don't worry, Paul, you preach it, you'll be a heavy lifter. I will use you to do so. Kingdom builders are heavy lifters. Why? Because they declare they're weak, and God says, I'll make you strong. God says he'll do it. Third thing, he'll give you hope. Holy Spirit will come on you to make you hopeful. Romans 15 verse 13, Paul said, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. He'll give you hope, but the hope will start to overflow by the power of the Holy Spirit. You've received Jesus, the hope of the world, but that will overflow by the power of the Holy Spirit. You'll meet people. You don't know why they seem more hopeful and stable. It's because they are more hopeful and stable. Not because they are more hopeful and stable, because they got the one who brings hope and then the one who causes it to overflow. They got Jesus and the Holy Spirit. See, it's not that they're better. It's just that they've made a decision to receive the one who brings hope and then the one who causes it to overflow. Some of us, that's all the hope we've got. 500 mil hope. And we want to pour it out on our planet. You need a hope that overflows. You need a hose pipe connected to a source that doesn't stop. We don't need to have water restrictions, hope restrictions in our life. We can say, listen, I poured enough hope out for the day. No, you've got unlimited hope. COVID can come, you still stay hopeful. You can lose someone. It says, we're not people who grieve without hope. Even if you've lost a family member, we know we'll see them in heaven. We've got hope beyond death. We've got hope beyond sickness. We've got hope beyond brokenness. We've got hope beyond bitterness. We've got hope beyond unforgiveness. Our hope overflows. It's not limited by anything on this planet. It's because of His Holy Spirit. We have hope. We can have hope in a hopeless world. The last thing, the Holy Spirit will make you full. He'll give you a fullness. He comes on you to be full. He doesn't want you to be empty. A lot of people in their marriages are asking their spouse to fill them up. And yes, you as a spouse need to be responsible and blessed. You know what I mean? You need to be generous. The marriage success because of two generous people. But it's only God who can fill them. And then you ask your spouse to be God, and you're going to be disappointed with your spouse. Why aren't you making it? You know, you start manipulating, controlling. God can make you full. See, when you're full, you're the easiest person to be around because you've already got all you need. And people who have all they need, they've only got one role to play, to be a blessing. God can make you full by the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3 verse 16 says, I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with the power through His Spirit in your inner being. So you're going to have strength through His Spirit so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, again, together with all the saints to grasp. See, the power is there so you can grasp how wide, how long, how deep, and how high the love of Christ is. He wants to give you power so that you can grasp. Without the Holy Spirit, you'll never be able to fully understand how much God loves you. Without the Holy Spirit, you'll never be able to fully understand how much He cares for you. And once you understand how much He cares for you, then you can start to have a full life. He wants to fill you up with His love. You don't have to live on empty. You don't have to ask the world to fill you. You're going to be filled up by God, and He wants to make you full. In a world that's running on empty, you can be somebody who has the fullness of God. Some of you are ticking the boxes. You've shown up at church, tick. You got got water baptized, tick. You did growth track, tick. You are in a view group, tick. And you go, Andre, there must be more. This can't be all there is to Christianity. There is more. It's by the power of the Spirit of God that you experience the more that God has you. It's by the power He gives you that you start to understand how full, how deep, how wide, how long His love is for you. There is more. See, I grew up in a church where I ticked the boxes. I went to church. At 16, I got my jacket. You know, I got confirmed. But it was empty. I needed more. I came here, I heard about Jesus, and I experienced Him, but I still needed more. And then I remember at 21, something just shifted in my life, and it was through the Holy Spirit. It was a word, a prophetic word. It was in obedience, and I just opened my life up to more. The Spirit of God started to pour into my life, and I started to feel fulfilled. I started to do things with no strings attached, because when you've got more than enough, then your next step is do stuff with no strings attached. And I started to feel fulfilled, blessed. I don't know if you've experienced it yet. Maybe in this building, you're saying, Andre, I've ticked the boxes, but I'm saying there must be more. Why don't you respond to the Holy Spirit this morning? Respond to the knocking on the door of your heart. Do you want to stand up quickly? Maybe you're standing here, Tableview, Bloberg, Malkbus, online. And you're saying, Andre, I need wisdom, like Joseph. Holy Spirit's saying, I want to give you wisdom. You came on Joseph. So God's the same today, yesterday, same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Maybe you need to rise up like Gideon to lead. You need to have this, to just acknowledge that the same power that conquered the grave lives in you. Maybe you need the power to be bold right now. There's people who need to know Jesus in your world. Maybe you just need to become stronger. You're feeling weak in some area and God wants you to respond. Say, just acknowledge your weakness. Some of you, you're feeling hopeless and God wants to make you hopeful. For some of you, you're feeling empty and God wants to fill you up with His Spirit. And with the power of God, you're going to understand how much God loves you. I don't know where you are. Let's quickly just respond in the area of weakness. Whatever your weakness is, can you tell God? I feel weak as a parent. I feel weak personally. I feel sad. I feel weak. I feel weak as a businessman. I feel weak as a husband or a wife. Tell God and say, Holy Spirit, will you help me? Holy Spirit, will you help me? I know where you're weak. Tell Him. That's where I feel weak. Holy Spirit, will you help me? Next thing, Bible says, if a good earthly parent gives their child a good gift, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit if you ask? Right now, I want you to just ask Jesus to pour out His Spirit in your life. If you want to, just say, Jesus, will you pour your Spirit out? Will you baptize me in your Spirit? Holy Spirit, thank you for living inside of me and coming on me. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. More of you, Jesus. More of your power. Tell you, blow a big mouth, put online, pour your Spirit. Please, Holy Spirit, will you touch us all? Holy Spirit, touch us all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. More of you. Will you touch us? Pour your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lastly, if you were like me, you tick the boxes, but you hadn't fully experienced God, and you want to respond. The Bible says those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Those who call on the name of the Lord, they'll be saved. Romans 10 verse 13. And you say, Andre, I need to open up the door of my heart. I need to welcome Jesus in. Who are you welcoming in? The one who paid the price for your sin. You welcoming him into your heart. The one who conquered death. And not only do you welcome Jesus into your life to save you, you're welcoming the Holy Spirit into your life. If you need to do it, maybe you're far from God, or you've ticked the boxes and you're saying there's more. Andre, I need to respond. Or maybe you've never been in church, your first time. You say, Andre, I just felt God speak to me as you spoke. I want you to respond with every eye closed, tail view, blow a big mouthpuss. Church in line, if you're going to respond, get ready. I'm going to count to three and just boldly put your hand up. Say, Andre, that's me. I need to receive Jesus. Come on, you know God's speaking to you. You're not responding to me. You're responding to the Holy Spirit's work in your life. One, God loves you so much. Two, today's the day of salvation. Three, pop your hand up. Awesome. 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 Anyone else? Excellent. Hands going up everywhere. Awesome. Young too. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. God, you see people opening up their hearts saying, I respond. I receive you again, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray together. Jesus, I confess with my mouth that you are the Son of God. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the grave. Because of this confession, the Bible says that I'm saved, that I'm changed, and I'll never be the same. I'm shutting the door to the enemy's plan, and I'm opening up my heart to your plan. I receive your salvation, and I receive you, Holy Spirit. I thank you for your strength. I thank you for your boldness. I thank you for your hope. I thank you for the fullness of understanding God's love. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Come on, let's give Jesus praise in this place. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to hand over to Dieter and to Matt. And yeah, guys, remember your next steps, Growth Track View Group. Carry on next week, speaking about the fruits of the Spirit. So good to see you guys. I promise you, just keep opening your life. God wants to change your life. He loves you. He wants to empower you. Have a good one.